What's up, everybody? This is Justin Senna back again for episode 2 of the 20-something podcast. I'm here with my friend Michael I.
What up, guys?
Today we're going to be talking about relocating for work, but I quickly just wanted to touch on the last episode. I just wanted to say thank you to everybody that listened, all the feedback that I got. A lot of really nice messages and words of encouragement, and you know, I'm glad that it was able, like, a lot of you guys were able to relate to it. You know, that's kind of the whole point of this, and people were able to gain, you know, new insights. So the podcast is doing exactly what I was hoping it would do. So moving forward with that, we're gonna go ahead and get into this next episode. Like I said, I'm here with my friend Michael I. So he currently is a senior associate at Deloitte, and I met him almost 3 years ago.
Two and a half.
UCSB. Mm-hmm. So he was actually not even, he actually graduated in 2017. So he was visiting mutual friends, and we ended up kind of, you know, sparking up a friendship, which is pretty cool. So, you know, I was a transfer student. We weren't there at the same time, but, you know, we've been able to, like, grow a friendship out of that, which is really dope. So I'm going to turn it over to him and pretty much just let him give you guys a little bit of background, and then we're going to go ahead and dive into today's subject.
Yeah, what up, guys? This is Michael. So I graduated UCSB in 2017 with a degree in economics and accounting, econ and accounting. And basically, after I graduated, I had an offer on the table from Deloitte to start in their San Francisco office to work in their audit and assurance practice, right? And so that's basically being an audit, which is one of the branches of Deloitte. But yeah, like, to Justin's point, it's funny that we got close, because I graduated already before he was even in college. And I basically did what you would call like a fifth year, because my girlfriend was going to school at the time. And like, so I would basically go back to Santa Barbara all the time while I was in my first year at Deloitte. And she was in her senior year. And that's when we got to, like, kick in and hang out and stuff.
Yeah, so Michael was, like, notoriously known as, like, the unofficial, like, super senior. But it's dope. Mike's a great guy. And I felt like for him, he's one of those people. So he grew up in L.A. his entire life and then moved to Santa Barbara for school, obviously. And then within about a 2 to 3 month period after graduation, he was then moving to San Francisco for work. And so basically, you know, today is going to be more focused for those who are relocating for work, mostly post-grad. So a recent new young post-grad, or, you know, like, if you're probably still, like, between the ages of 23 to 25 in that first job. Yeah. And if you were going to transition to another job, you know, obviously still have experience, but not quite as if you were relocating if you were, like, say, 30. So yeah. I think this will be helpful to the younger half of the 20-something-year-olds. But pretty much just to dive into this, you know, go ahead and tell us a little bit about what your thoughts were, like, how, like, after you received your offer from Deloitte. Obviously, you knew that you were going to be working out of the SF office. So what were some of your, like, preliminary thoughts before you were actually going to move down? Because I know that you said you only had about 2 months before you actually moved to SF. And so what were your thoughts? What were your plans? What were you kind of doing before you actually made the physical move?
Yeah, so I graduated in June of 2017, and basically between June and September, which is when my start date was, I had like a 3 month window, right? And so the first 3 weeks after I graduated or so, me and a couple of my buddies, we went to Asia and did like a graduation trip, right? We went to Tokyo or Japan, Korea, Hong Kong, and Taiwan. And I would definitely suggest, like, if you have the chance or if you have the opportunity to travel after you graduate, because once you become a corporate slave, you know, once you start working, it's really hard to be able to get like a 3 week window of time off, you know. So it was definitely a good experience. But after I came back, I was living at home in LA or greater LA region in a town called Walnut, which is where I'm from. But I was there for roughly 2 months, and at the time I was basically trying to figure out, where am I going to live, right? Because I'd gone to Santa Barbara, moved back home, and then I was determined and set up to move to SF. But there's like a lot you don't know when you move to a different city, because it's not like college where like everyone around you is renting like the same type of apartments.
Same age, and same background.
Yeah, everyone has the same background, you know. It's like you talk to anyone on the street, it's either first year or second year, third year or senior, you know. But like when you come to like a huge city like San Francisco, then it's like you have people that are like old and established, people well off in their career, you got families, and then you have like recent young college grads, you know? And so it's a very different pool of people that's out there trying to find a place. And so the process is definitely a little different. You don't understand, like, I guess, renting rules and like different pockets of like the city and whatnot, you know? So it was a little bit difficult when I first was looking for a place. When I decided to move up, it was just me and my friend Alex. I've known him since like middle school, and so we've been really tight. And I lived with him the summer before senior year, right? And so we had to find a place that was somewhat close to the Caltrain station and also close enough to FIDE, because I was working in FIDE and he was working in Palo Alto. And so he had to be close enough to the Caltrain so he could be able to commute. And so
for those of you that don't know, Palo Alto is probably like,
oh yeah,
like a 30, like it's probably like a 30 minute Caltrain from SF. So like trying to find like a meeting point, because I mean, it's one of those things like where you're in SF, even if you're far on the outskirts of SF, everything's kind of somewhat commutable.
Yeah.
But if you have to go other city, it's important to be near like our Caltrain station, our BART, which is basically our version of public transportation. So, but yeah, go ahead and continue with what you were looking at for like, you know, in a home.
Yeah, so that's kind of what we were looking for. And then like we were pretty young. We didn't really know what like we were doing. I would say like we had found places, like we had like three or four places we found online, and we were like, okay, let's drive up from LA, check it out, right? And then we'll pick a place, and then that's that, you know? And so we drove up for a weekend because we couldn't fly because we needed a car to get around, to like check out the different places and stuff. Yeah. And so we drove up, saw, I think, four places. One of them was across from like a cracked den. One of them was like in one of those high-rise luxury apartments. And then one of them was the apartment that I ended up actually renting, right? And so it was a really quick decision that we had to make. And I guess this is in terms of like finding a place, right? It's very difficult because landlords want to fill their apartments as soon as possible, but you also don't have the ability to look any sooner than like 2-3 weeks before you actually sign a place, because they want to, as soon as you look at the place, right, they're trying to fill it as soon as possible.
Yeah.
And so what's important to do beforehand, this is something that we definitely didn't do, is like do your due diligence, like figure out how far the different neighborhoods and different communities are from where you're going to work, figure out the transit schedules, like how you're going to get to work and stuff, figure out like what's kind of the demographic of your neighborhood, if it's safe or not.
Yeah, or especially like, in San Francisco.
Yeah, especially in San Francisco, you know? Because like I didn't know that like the area, I thought it was like, because the apartment that I ended up renting, right? It was a really nice apartment. It was completely remodeled, right? But it was on a street and I had no idea that there would be hobos pissing and shitting all over the place, like outside of my apartment, you know? It was just new to me, you know? You come from like suburbia where everyone's got a home, a lawn, and a backyard, and you end up in a city where there's human shit next to your door and you're like, wow, what is that? You know, what is that?
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. I think because I'm doing the same thing right now. And so like one of those things is like I'm only making a move like what, like 45 minutes up north from South Bay to San Francisco.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things where like at least in the little bit of experience that I've had is looking for new places. Like you said, in the Bay Area market, the market moves really fast because everything gets bought up really quickly or rented out really quickly because it's super popular here. And so for me, even though I know I'm not renting for another like 3 or 4 months, it's just getting like a feel of what the neighborhoods are, you know, what my dollar can get me in certain, you know, areas and stuff like that. And then just kind of figuring out, like you said, like transit schedule, how far am I from work? Like all these different things to consider. And so for you, I think one of the things that we touched on before we even jumped on to record was the idea of like, you have to all these things to consider and you can have a list of places that you'd want to check out. But then it does come down to the fact that you're competing with other people, like you're competing with families, you're competing with other young professionals that are, you know, that have been working for, you know, 5 to 10 years. So they have that kind of curve on you. So what was the biggest difficulty about trying to find places that were willing to rent to young, recent new grads? And also, like, you know, like, what were you able to do to kind of convince those landlords or, like, those people showing you the property that, like, you would be a good fit, you know? Because, like you said, back in college, everyone's the same. So the landlords know the market that they're renting to. But in SF, when you have to go up against different types of people, you know, what's kind of your approach now that you've moved twice in SF? So
I would definitely say that it's being proactive, right? And so what that means is, you know, when you check out a place, right, you want to be very amicable with whoever's showing you the property and, you know, present yourself in a way where like, oh, they can be like, oh, I can trust this person. I would be safe renting out this apartment to this person, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's like, as long as you're able to provide like your pay statement showing like you have substantial salary to be able to pay off rent and stuff and like be in like constant communication with them, I think they'll be comfortable. I think the most critical thing is being able to be decisive, right? Mm-hmm. And because if you show that you're like kind of wishy-washy, you know, mm-hmm. the landlord doesn't really care that much. They're trying to fill the place, but they also don't want someone they're like, oh, I don't know if I can trust them. So as long as you present yourself, you can be decisive, be proactive in like communicating with them and being like on top of your shit, like when they ask for stuff or whenever they text you, then I think you have a really good chance at getting whatever spot you want.
Yeah. And I think that's like, I mean, that comes down to being like, it being a group effort too, right?
Yeah,
because like, if you're living with like 3-4 other people, mm-hmm. you know, you want to make sure that you guys are all on the same page. Like, just because you're doing your research
yeah.
and you know what you want, you have to know what other people want mm-hmm. before you like exactly. just move into a place. Because, you know, obviously you have to consider, like you said, your friend is like working in Palo Alto. So you need to make sure that you're on the same page about the location, mm-hmm. about like where you're going to find stuff. And, you know, you want to make sure you're cohesively in on one place, and you're mm-hmm. like, you're not like, even if like three people are in and one person's wishy-washy,
yeah, you just got to make sure everyone's committed,
yeah, because you know? then someone, it's just going to create like a riff and
yeah, because someone's like unhappy, they're like, oh, I don't like this like living situation, you know, and it's like, that's not what you want, you know.
Yeah, especially post-grad, because I mean like in college, like I mean college environment is like one thing, but like once you start getting into that working professional life, like you're still young, still going to have fun, but mm-hmm. like, I mean, you have responsibilities now, like you have things that you need to balance.
Grown as adult.
Yeah. So, I mean, kind of like going into that too, like with work, obviously, because that's one of the big things, is how did you balance this while also preparing to start your first job, start a new job? Was, you know, was work willing to kind of give you any support in that sense? Did you guys ever talk about like a relocation stipend? Were they understanding of your situation, knowing that you had to basically uproot your life and move to a full new location? Like, what was that personal experience for you?
Yeah, work's definitely understanding. I mean, if you move to, because for Deloitte, if you apply to a different office than where you're from, so I'm from like LA area, right? And I applied to the San Francisco office. And so they knew that that was like a completely different city. So they offered a relocation like bonus, or it's kind of like a sign-on bonus to help you move. Like, you know, when you move in, you got security deposit, your first month's rent, you got to get all your furniture. Mm-hmm. And so that definitely helped. In terms of flexibility, they gave us a couple start dates to work with. So I chose the later one because I was like, oh, I'm trying to like kick it as long as possible before like, you know, I sign my life away. And so that definitely helps. In terms of like relocation though, it's definitely different coming into the city, like when you're comfortable at home, you know. It's like, if you're from the suburbs or like from Cupertino too, Cupertino is very similar to what Walnut is, in my opinion, back in LA, right? And it's like, it's a very suburban life, you know, there's not much to do. Mm-hmm. Everyone goes out, like we'll grab like a meal and hang out and talk like at a like boba shop, you know?
Yep, classic,
like,
classic.
Yeah. And then you move to the city, you end up and you walk outside. Like, I remember distinctly walking out of my first apartment and I'd be like staring up at the skyscrapers like, damn, I actually live in San Francisco, you know?
Yeah.
It's like a thought that like would constantly run through my mind, because like, you live in the heart and like the center of a huge urban like center. That's like,
I mean, the Bay Area is pretty much like the center of the world right now. So
exactly.
Like, where all the jobs, like we're all like
exactly,
the progression of technology and all
that. Yeah,
stuff.
You're on the forefront like, of the stuff that's going on, you know, which is crazy, you know? Yeah.
I mean, and then so kind of like going off of that too, like obviously, you know, finding the position is hard. Like how did that play a role at all for you? Like, you know, trying to settle into a new environment, like a new location, a new home, like did that make work harder for you? Did you really notice it? Were you like too focused on work to really pay attention to that kind of stuff, and it mm-hmm. kind of all just followed? Or, you know, what was that real life adjustment like? Because you said you're like, you know, you kind of come to the realization that you live in San Francisco now, but like with that, what adjustments did you have to go through?
Yeah, it was definitely a little bit stressful, you know, like driving up one weekend, checking out three places, and then by another week later, having to decide on a place, and then 2 weeks later, then moving up, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's definitely a quick process, and that's something that I wasn't prepared for. And that's something that you can curb as long as you like lay down the groundwork, you know, mm-hmm. do your research beforehand, because I wasn't ready for it, and I wasn't like prepared to sign all these documents, you know, get all my stuff figured out. And at the same time, like you said, like, you're about to start your first job. You want to make a good impression. You want to do good, you know, because this is like the beginning of your like what 40-year career, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like this is the big leagues. This is where it counts.
Yeah,
you know. And so, it's definitely a little bit stressful. The good thing is when you like start, I think this is for most companies, when you start an entry level position, for the most part, they don't expect you to know too much, you know? Yeah. And I think you touched upon this in your last podcast, right? Mm-hmm. Like when you apply to entry level positions, they're not looking too much for experience.
Yeah.
Or like super detailed experience, at mm-hmm. least. They're more so looking for someone that's gonna fit in the company culture, someone that they know they can stand working with, someone that they know they can like be in their room with for what, 8 to 12 hours, you know?
Yeah.
And that's kind of what they're looking for. So I was lucky because Deloitte's similar where basically, they don't expect you to know too much, and a lot of it is learning on the job.
Yeah.
And so that was nice, and it was easier of a transition having like to like move and also like start at the new company, you know. And like within a week, we're flying out to Texas, you know.
Yeah.
And so it was definitely a bit stressful, definitely pretty hectic, but overall, you just got to be prepared to like move fast. That's like the biggest thing.
Yeah.
You know.
And so for you, I guess I mean like, you know, saying like. Basically, obviously, working for a big company like Deloitte, you obviously had like other opportunities. If you wanted to work elsewhere, you said you can choose like where you would want to apply to in terms of like mm-hmm. the location for that company.
Yeah.
So I guess one thing for a lot of, you know, the young people listening to this to consider, obviously, is like working for a company that you really enjoy is one thing, but the physical location of it uh-huh. is, you know, just as important.
It makes all the difference.
Like, so yeah. So for you, did you know? While you were applying pretty much, like uh-huh. did you have the Bay Area in mind? Like, is that like,
yeah.
were those the characteristics or like the location that you were kind of looking for the job? Because like I said, like you could love your job, but if you like hate where you live or mm-hmm. vice versa, you could like, love where you live, but hate your job. It's
yeah.
like, you kind of yeah. have to find like a cohesiveness in
There's
all of
There's gotta be some sort of balance to it.
Yeah.
For sure.
So you knew that though, like, because yeah. you had interned the summer before.
Yeah. So like the summer before my senior year, right? I was living in Santa Clara with my roommate who I moved to SF with, Alex, right? He went to Santa Clara University. I had an internship at Moss Adams at the time. And so the office was like 15 minutes away. And I was like, let me sublease from one of your housemates. And he's like, yeah, that's perfectly fine. So we lived together for a summer, right? And basically, sorry, excuse me.
No, you're good.
basically, every weekend during that summer that we were in Santa Clara, we would come up to SF all the time, you know? And it's like, you would drive up, spend the weekend here, you know, like party, do whatever, and be a tourist. And when you first visit SF, like even though it's 7x7, there's like so much to do.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's this nonstop and you're like constantly moving and there's just so much to see. And so I was like, wow, this would be a great city to live in mm-hmm. after I graduate. And I think the key decision that I made moving to SF or picking the office to apply for was the fact that like after I graduate, right, I was like, oh, if I consider LA, I'm gonna have to move out. Cause my home or my parents' home driving to downtown LA is a 2-hour commute one way. And I was like, I'm not down to sit in traffic for that long.
Yeah.
You know? And so I was like, if I'm gonna move out, if I'm gonna spend rent on a place, I might as well move to a city, like a completely new city, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And like, cause when you're young, that's kind of like your chance, your opportunity to
yeah.
live where you want. You know,
yeah,
it's
definitely.
Like, if you live internationally, that's the window of time to do it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like before you have a family, before you settle down, have kids, this is your opportunity. And so I was like, oh, I'm gonna move to San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what I got lucky with was senior year, I lived with 10 other guys. And so more than half the house, I believe, is from the actual city of San Francisco. They're like
yes,
born and raised,
yeah, yeah.
born and raised natives. And so I knew if I was gonna move to SF, I would have at least a good group of guys, a good group of friends that I was gonna be able to kick it with and like have in the city to help support me, you know?
Yeah, I think that's super important. Like going off of that, like just forewarning here in the entire situation, like Michael definitely lucked out in the sense where we've talked about this, like a lot of his really
yeah.
close friends were either from SF or were also moving up there with him. So he kind of had a support group kind of already there for him, and it kind of helped launch, because it's not like Michael isn't a social person, but like obviously it helped
yeah.
lift his experience and kind of like, you
yeah.
know, like when you have that confidence, you know, other people, you meet friends of friends and stuff like that,
uh-huh.
it kind of helps you grow. So you know, outside of that, obviously the situation's a little bit different, but if you had any advice for anybody listening, like, you know, if they were planning to move to a new city and they didn't really know anybody, like what has worked for you
mm-hmm.
at least with like work or like, you know,
yeah.
if you've been able to meet other people in the city besides the people you
uh-huh.
already knew,
yeah.
what kind of advice would you give to those people who are starting in a new place and really don't know anybody?
Yeah, I mean, when you first move to the city, I would say definitely do it. That's the first thing, because it's like, it's gonna be a completely new experience. You're gonna learn a lot. You get to be put out of your comfort zone, which I think, in my opinion, is always a good thing, because mm-hmm. anytime you put out of your comfort zone, I think you can grow from it, right? You learn, and that's good. It's like growing pains, you know? So I would say definitely do it. Second thing is, like, and I think I mentioned this already, like, make sure you do your research, you know? Make sure you're living in a neighborhood that you feel comfortable with. You're living in, like, a place that you feel safe with, you know? Mm-hmm. And, like, third, and this is the hardest part, I would say always just be open, you know? Have an open mind. Be willing to, like if someone hits you up to grab a meal and it's, like, kind of random, you're like, oh, I don't know if I really know this person, like that, you know? It's like, you know? But just go ahead and do it, you know? It's like, when you started a job and you like meet a bunch of people. Oh, I guess I got lucky because like Deloitte, all of us that started at the same time, there's like 60 of us, we're all like college grads, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's like definitely, it's like the first day of freshman year again, you know? Like have your dorm room door open, you know?
Yeah.
It's like be open to making new friends. Don't be closed-minded, you know? Be open to like having conversation. And it's a little bit harder, I guess, if you're on the introverted side, you know? Because like I'm a natural or true extrovert, and so like it's not hard for me to like be open to other people, but like I definitely understand it can be challenging for some folks, you know? And so that is the biggest point though, because it's like if you don't do that, it's going to be kind of hard to eventually like feel comfortable or feel like you enjoy the city that you're in.
Yeah,
you know, because you got to have like a good group of people that you can hang out with,
definitely,
or you can rely on, you know?
And I'm gonna say the same thing, like I mean, like I in my position, I would give the same advice that, you know, that you pretty much said, but like also on the flip side, we were both probably like type A extroverts, and so for us, that's something that's not hard, like putting ourselves out there. So at least in my sense, like my advice on that side would just be like, you know, like obviously it's easier said than done to put yourself out there, but at the end of the day, really think about what you want. Like if you want to move to this city and you want to experience like all these different things, and you want you want, like if you want to meet people and you want to have fun, if you you really think about that with yourself, like if that's what you want, then you have to be willing to take that step.
Yeah,
like,
you have to be.
It kind of comes
to
the point like you have to put yourself in an uncomfortable position to eventually find comfort in, you know, your living situation.
And exactly.
So I think that brings up like a really good point. Like no matter what, introverted or extroverted, you got to be willing to kind of step outside your comfort zone.
Definitely.
Because there's all things that we're uncomfortable with, and moving to a new city in itself is, you know, even though you knew people, I'm sure there's still adjustments that you have to make, and you kind of just have to roll with the punches and take it for what it is. So you know, I think kind of moving forward on that too, obviously, like we talked about balancing work and everything like that, for you, what was the hardest part about moving so quickly, like relocating for work? And obviously you're making money, you know, the most money you've made, you know, at that point in your lifetime, but at the same time you're living in a place that's really expensive, you know, cost of living is high, you know, you don't have anything saved up because it's not like my situation, like like I'm from the Bay Area, so I can live at home for six months to a year and just save all of my money, and then when I'm ready to move, I have a sum to fall back on. For someone that, you know, didn't have that, they had 2 months, moved up, and then was consistently working because a bunch of your money goes to the paycheck anyway. What was your biggest struggle adjustment when it came to saving, you know, in a new place?
Yeah, that's a it's funny you bring that up. That's a great topic to touch on. I would say before you move to the city, like Santa said, like if you have the opportunity to live at home for a little bit and then on your own terms decide when you're gonna move out, I would definitely say go for that route, because you're gonna save a lot of money. You're gonna be able to pay off whatever loans you have, you know. And get financially comfortable before you can make a huge financial decision, like being able to rent out a place that's like $1,500, $1,700, you know? And so if you're not in that position, you're kind of like me where you just got to go ahead and move, I would definitely say have some sort of reserve, have some sort of savings in your account that you're willing and able to spend when you move, because like there's some shit that's going to happen. Like you can get your car towed.
Yeah.
It's like $700 right there, you know? You get like 2 street cleaning tickets, that's $150.
Yeah, know? Or
you get a ticket for not paying the muni, which happened to me.
That's happened that's happened on me on the Caltrain. Like,
yeah, see?
4 or 5 times.
Oh my god!
It's because, you know what, we're gonna shout out Darren's son on this one, who told me that I was never gonna get caught doing it, and I've gotten caught like at least once a month since
that's
I started.
That's so funny, because I'm pretty sure Darren also told Emily that she would never get caught, never having to pay for the bus, and then like right after that, she didn't pay for it and she got caught immediately.
Exactly. So basically, fuck you, Darren, is what we're trying to say.
Yeah. But yeah. definitely have like some sort of savings account ready to be able to spend, because you're going to come into like stuff you don't know, you know, like you're going to have to buy kitchen utensils. You're going to have to buy furniture. Furniture is also insanely expensive. Like, I had no idea how expensive furniture truly is, but it's really expensive, you know? And then you're going to have to, like, when you move, you're going to have friends, you're going to, like, want to go out and eat, you want to go out and party, you know? Stuff's expensive, man. Like, so you're going to have savings. And then the thing is, don't find an apartment that costs $1,850 a month when you first move to somewhere.
Yeah, so like when I, yeah. Pretty much budget, yeah. For, like, pretty much, long story short, Mike was telling me, he was paying $1,850 for an apartment that was way too small.
Yeah, and did not include utilities.
Not including, and that's the thing. Like, when you're moving to a big location, like, a lot of people listening, I'm sure, are going to move to places like L.A., New York,
SF,
Chicago, where, like, you know, cost of living is pretty high. And so something to consider, like, obviously, before you move, like, if you're going to move right away, is plan out your finances. Like, what, like, you know you're going to be making this much, you know, this is
figure roughly out the cost how much of living, because that's important.
Yeah, like, what is going to, like, rent obviously is going to be taking up a huge amount of your paycheck. So you want to be able to, how can I live comfortably while also paying this amount of money and then balancing? Because I want Mike to touch on something that I know he definitely related to, is the fact that it's like, when you get your first job and you're making real money, like, obviously you have to pay for your cost of living, but then you're also making enough money to go out and have fun. You're not relying on your parents at that point. If you're living in a city like San Francisco, it can kind of sometimes get out of hand, and you can kind of go overboard on like weekends or whatever it is. And so I know when I was watching Mike when I was still in college, you know, and seeing kind of what he was going through, I was learning in myself kind of like what was the do's and don'ts of pretty much how to save your money or how to spend it. So as someone that was kind of going through that, what would be your advice to young people that are getting, you know, a significant amount of money in terms of your yearly salary for the first time in your life?
The first and foremost, the first piece of advice is, don't blow all your money on going out and partying and eating out, you know? It's very easy to do, especially when you have an expense. I mean, like, because, like, rent is, you're like, oh, I'm going to pay off rent and then I have this much money left, right? Like, that's not a great way of looking at it. Mm-hmm. It should be like, okay, let me allocate, like, at least 20 to 40% of my paycheck to savings, and then allocate rent, and then figure out, okay, this is my budget that I can work with. Because, like, when I first moved, I would pay off rent, and rent was, for me at the time, I got paid, like, what, twice a month? Mm-hmm. Something like that, right? I got paid twice a month. And my rent was more than a single paycheck. And at the time, I wasn't even putting any money in my 401k, you know? Like, it was not cool, you know? And then as soon as I paid rent, my next paycheck would have to last me the entire month. And then my thought process was, oh, I can use all of this money, you know? Yeah. And so as a result of that, I didn't actually open a savings account until 1 year after I started. I literally remember when I opened my savings account. It was September of 2018, and I had started work at September 2017, you know? Mm-hmm. And it was because I blew through all my savings. I blew through whatever, like, money I was making. And it's crazy because it's like, you feel a lot of power.
Yeah.
When you first get this paycheck, you're like, wow, I got like almost $2,000 in the bank. You know, I'm rich. I made it.
Yeah.
You know, coming from a broke college student, you're like, oh shit. And that's, like, I got money. Let's go spend it, you know?
And that's the thing, too. I think that's the people that have a problem. And people can, like, listen here and say, like, oh, I mean, of course not. Like, of course I wouldn't blow all that money. Of course I'd be, like, diligent about that. But that you kind of have to come to the understanding, too, that, like, that can happen to anybody. Like, you see that happen to athletes. Like, ever since, like,
it's so easy.
Like, we're going to talk about, you know, for real quick, like, RIP Kobe. Like, but
he
was talking about how, you know, athletes go broke within, like, the first, you know, 5 years of retiring. And that's pretty much the same sense. It's like, if someone that's making millions of dollars, it doesn't make a difference. Like, if you're just making, you know, thousands of dollars, you know, on a yearly salary, you can still get caught up in, like, that glamour of just kind of being able to spend your money more freely. And it's not as simple as, like, people just think, like, oh, I'll just save it. It's like, sometimes you kind of just fall into a pattern of,
it's
spending.
It's definitely easier said than done, for sure.
Yeah, and so I think that's good that Mike learned that, and that, you know, for anybody listening, make sure that, especially if you're moving to a new city and you haven't, you know, you haven't saved up at all, you haven't lived with your parents and that stuff, you don't want to live paycheck to paycheck.
Your first couple goals should for sure be setting up a savings account and, like, making sure you allocate at least 10%, 20% of your salary to that savings account, you know?
Yeah, and I think to touch on too what you said, it's really funny because I used to work at a bank, and we had to take classes on, mm-hmm. you know, like financial management and things yeah. like that, you yeah, know, yeah. for, you know, just basically furthering ourselves as an employee. And I think, I forget the exact number, but it said something like, I think like 40 to 55% mm-hmm. of Americans would not be able to incur like a $400 or like a $700 like unexpected charge.
Yeah,
and like
which we said, is crazy to think.
You yeah, know? Because it's just like, I mean, and like you said, the situation you're in, if you're paying $1,800 and that's your full paycheck plus a little bit of your next paycheck, and then you have to pay for food, you have to pay for utilities, you yeah. have to pay for all that kind of stuff. Uh-huh. If you got hit with a $400, $500 charge, like,
you're fucked.
Yeah, you know, you don't, like what you are you supposed to do fucked. At that point?
Exactly.
And so yeah. it's like, you know, like all those times, like you go out and you spend money and you have fun, like, yeah, it's uh-huh. great, but keep it in the back of mind that you have to be able to,
yeah,
not, don't, ex- you know, like, don't live your life like expecting something bad to happen, but know uh-huh. that anything could happen at any point.
At any given time.
And I
yeah.
think for a lot of people listening, especially in this last week, we've understood that it doesn't matter how much money you make, it doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter how great you are, it doesn't matter if you played basketball, it doesn't matter if you're a legend, like you, anything could happen to you at any time, and you yeah. have to be prepared for that.
Exactly.
And so
exactly.
Don't get it, like, get it through your head, like you're working your first job, you're making an entry level salary, and it's yeah, the most money definitely. You've ever made to that point. But understand too that like that's still not a lot of money in hindsight, especially living uh-huh. in some, if you're locating to somewhere like the Bay Area, yeah. like New York or something yeah. like that. So,
and it's good. It's good that you brought that up, because like you're in a position where like you have influences around you, like me and like other guys that are older and whatnot, and like they have had these experiences, and so mm-hmm. you're smart enough. You already know, you know.
Yeah.
For a lot of people, like for me at the time, I had no idea, but now looking back, I'm like, damn, I was hella stupid. You yeah. know, like I didn't save any money for a year. You know, like, and it's like it's one of those things where it's like hindsight 2020, right? You yeah. look back and you're like, wow, that was really dumb. I know way better now.
Yeah.
But it's like, again, like life, you know, you're moving on forward. Like every year you're going to get smarter. You look back and you're like, wow, I was stupid. So it's like always try to be proactive and be like, okay, look, what can I do to be better, to be smarter this year, you know?
Yeah.
And so like my goal for 2020 was to basically save 20K, mm-hmm. you know, and not on super track, not really on track, but like we're making progress, you know, compared to like where I was a year ago, a year and a half ago, mm-hmm. I'm saving way more money now than I ever thought I could save. Like yeah. when I was a first year, and like my first year living in San Francisco.
Yeah. And I think it's good. I mean, to see you come full circle, because pretty much like I said, like when I was still in college, I was seeing Mike on Snapchat and Instagram, like going out every weekend, having fun. Like, and yeah. in my mind, like I legitimately thought like, well, sorry, it's that easy. You know, you can go out, you can do it all, but I didn't understand like what was kind of going on behind the scenes. Yeah. And so, you know, being able to take
definitely
those
some
steps.
Financial implications.
But I mean, that's good. Like the fact is that you learn, and yeah. even though you didn't have somebody to learn from, and like what you said is true, uh-huh. you know, like that's the whole point of this podcast. Like, you know, like yeah. I was able to see what you did right, what you did wrong, what everyone did, you know, like mm-hmm. all of the guys you lived with, yeah, all the yeah. guys before me, and like, you know, be able to take that into consideration. And now I can go to you guys for advice, and, you know, being able to broadcast this on this platform, whether it's, you know, 5, 10, 15, 20 kids, whatever, mm-hmm. that are planning, because I know there's going to be a lot of kids listening to yeah. this that want to move to SF, that like, that's the place to be.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah, definitely.
Take this into real consideration when you're looking mm-hmm. for a job, you know, like, because you're relocating for work, but you have to understand that like it's not just work, you know, mm-hmm. like this is
that's your whole life.
This is your yeah. life now. You don't, yeah. you don't, it's not like you're not living in, you know, we're not living in Santa Barbara, working part time, going to school.
Exactly.
You're not back home living with your parents. You're mm-hmm. on your own. You gotta yeah. make your own responsibility. You have to take ownership for your responsibilities. You have yeah. to, you know, basically own your life and uh-huh. kind of, you know, be responsible in that sense. So
yeah.
I think, you know, if anyone takes anything away from that, I think that's probably the most important part, yeah. like being fiscally responsible when
yes.
you move
absolutely.
Out, you know, because mommy and daddy aren't there to help anymore.
Yeah, there's no
know?
Cushion
like,
anymore, you know?
You know,
you fall, you're going to fucking hurt yourself.
Yeah.
You're gonna fall.
And so I think, you know, kind of moving forward in that sense, talking now. So since Mike has moved to the Bay, he lived in an overpriced small
yeah.
apartment, and now
two
has
two bedroom, one bathroom, 750 square feet.
Tiny.
And we were paying $1,850 each. So.
Yeah. So like that's just saying, knowing your market, and since then Mike has now moved out to a new place. It's pretty much like a townhome.
Yeah.
Way bigger.
It's way bigger.
So kind of talk about that transition, you know, like from moving to your first place to your second. What did you, you know, what were the main takeaways that you learned that you kind of applied to when you were finding the place that we're you know, that you're living at right now.
Mm-hmm. So basically after like 10 months or so in that old apartment, or like in the first apartment I was in, I was like, me and my roommate were like, okay, we can't be paying this anymore. It's not sustainable. And that's something like, it took us 10 months to realize, you know, but at the same time, we were also locked in a lease for a year. And so we were honestly very poorly managed by our like property managers. And so we had come to terms of agreement. We're like, look, you guys didn't handle us well. We really hate this place.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to, let's agree to break our lease. And so they accepted.
Mm-hmm.
And so within, and then like, again, like when we first found our house, within what, a 2-3 week like window, we had to find a new place. And at the same time, we were now looking for a 4-bedroom place because we had two more of our high school friends. Oh yeah. Like I mentioned, me and Alex have known each other since 10th grade. Two more of our friends who we've known since like high school, they were also moving up for work. And so now we were looking at like finding a 4-bedroom place, right? And this time around, we were a bit more prepared. We were like, okay, look, realistically, it's going to be really hard to find a 4-bedroom place or like a 3-bedroom with like a converted living room somewhere in the heart of the city, right? And so we were using like pad mappers, we were using like Zillow and stuff. And then one of my new housemates, Kevin Yin, he actually found this place on Zillow, and it was at the like kind of like the edge of SF. It was still in the city,
mm-hmm.
but definitely like right before you actually leave the city. And he's like, oh, this is like a 4-bedroom place. It's actually really big. Like Santa said, it's more of a townhome. It has like a garage, driveway, everything.
Space.
A rooftop. Actual like, space. Yeah, actual space. You were like, you're not in a cramped in an apartment. And so it was at this point we're like, okay, let's be proactive. Let's be decisive, right? We saw the place. My friend set up Alex set up a meeting, a walkthrough for the actual house. And then he called me out of lunch. He's like, all right, we should go and check this out. I'm like, okay. So I Ubered from my client down to the house, and we looked at it, and we FaceTimed the two guys that we were gonna also live with, Dylan and Kevin. We FaceTimed them in, we showed them the place, we did a whole walkthrough of the place, and we're like, what do you guys think, right? Because like I said, the property owners are just gonna want to move people in, like, and be fast about it, as long as it's someone they think they can trust. And so we FaceTimed them in, we showed them like the rooms, we showed them the living room, the downstairs, the garage, and they're like, you know what? I mean, we don't have too much ability to come up and see the actual places, you know, we weren't ready for this that fast. We should just sign it, because the rent in comparison to like what I was paying, like would have been, oh my, it's like, it's a 4-bedroom place. It's, I think, almost $6,000.
Mm-hmm.
But my rent, because I took like the smallest room, would now be $950.
Yeah.
You know, and going from paying $1,850 a month to $950, that was like a godsend. You're like, wow, I effectively have $1,000 more per paycheck, but like, it's something like, now I know I'm gonna save at least a lot of it, and now I have a little bit more spending money to work with, you know?
I think that's super true, like in this fact that like you're able to find like a new place to live, obviously, and like you, mm-hmm. one thing I really want to touch on too is like, it's really good that you were very straight up with your landlords and mm-hmm. like, you know, the people that are in charge of the building, because I think a lot of times for us young people, it's really easy for us to be taken advantage of.
Oh,
because
it's so easy for us to get bullied.
Yeah, yes. So like understanding that like, if you feel like you're being mistreated in a certain situation, in a certain uh-huh. living situation, you have to be really upfront with management, be willing to kind of take possible legal precautions if needed, because these people, you know, while not everyone in the world's a piece of shit, there are a lot of shitty people out there that will try to, you know, nickel and dime young professionals that don't know any better, especially if you're not from here, uh-huh. you don't have anywhere else to go. And I think also going off of what you said, like going into your new situation, the fact that like, not only were you able to find a place that was cheaper and not jump into anything too quickly, but you now know that saving is important. So it's not like, you know, it's not like you just got a cheaper place and now uh-huh. you just have more money to spend. It's like now you realize I'm in a better living situation. Yeah. I'm paying less. This uh-huh. is a betterment to my life, but mm-hmm. now I'm going to take a step further and actually save a good portion of those finances and do right for myself in the long term. And so it kind of comes full circle in the sense where, you know, you were able to take what your experiences and what you learned and then put that into the new situation and then also make it better for yourself.
Yeah, so there's definitely like a couple other places where we would all be paying like at least $1,500, $1,700. I mean, with $1,500, I would have been like, okay, whatever, it's doable.
Mm-hmm.
But like, if you see like a good opportunity, and you like at that point now, I recognize, okay, this is great value. You mm-hmm. know, this is a steal. like we should jump on it, you know, and take advantage. It's like after living in the city for a year, you kind of know like, oh, this is like a good opportunity. I should take advantage of this. Versus like a year ago, I would have been like, oh, I'm not sure. It's kind of far, blah, 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 you know? Mm-hmm. And so like, I think it's important to kind of be able to do your research and figure these things out beforehand, you know? And whether that's through like talking to people that already live in the city or talking to people that have moved away from there or talking to even people that consider moving there, you know? Like mm-hmm. those are all steps you should take and precautions you should take before you ever step foot in the city or before you like lock down a place.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, it's like you would do with anything else. Uh-huh. Like you do a job search, you try to figure out what school you want to go to. You try to figure out a guy or girl you want to be with. Like you mm-hmm. want to do your due diligence and understand what you're getting into before you actually kind of take that step forward. So, kind of like starting to wrap it up, I guess, you know, looking in the hindsight of things, we've gone over a lot of good tips and tricks, a lot of good experiences that I think people can take away from this. If you have to leave everybody with like a big picture thing that you think everyone should know walking away, what would that message be to people listening?
You know, this past week was like definitely difficult because, you know, death of Kobe Bryant, and that was like my childhood hero, you know?
Yeah.
And so I would say like having seen the outpour and having seen like the ability that Kobe made the world stand still. He made the world stand still.
That's so true, yeah.
And seeing the stories, you know, the memories and all the, like, this. I don't even know how to describe it.
I mean, he gave people, like, 20 years worth of stuff to, like, look back on.
It's crazy. It's crazy. Like, the impact that he had on so many people, you know, it's like, you would think it's like, okay, it's millions of people, but he touched the entire world, right? And so going forward, like you realize, like always put your best foot forward, you know. And he was like the fiercest competitor. He had like, oh my God, his Mamba mentality was insane, you know.
Yeah.
He was so tenacious in everything he did, you know. And you hear stories about him calling up like random people, like J.K. Rowling, mm-hmm. you know, author of Harry Potter.
Yeah.
And just to talk, to like pick her brain, see like how she thinks, what she does, how she came up and created Harry Potter, you know, things like that. Just like in your everyday life, you know, do good, and put your best foot forward. And always go forward without fear, you know? Because if you're scared of failing, you're probably going to fail, you know? So always put your best foot forward. Always think you can do it and trust in yourself and trust the process, you know?
Yeah, I think, like, I mean, that can go for this. I mean, it's one of those things, like, I think that's why it touched so many people is because the idea of, like, Mamba mentality, it's mm-hmm. not like you can apply that, what he did, to everything. So you want to apply it to, you know, like, you apply it to the situation that we're talking about, like, it's applicable, you know, like, being able to be diligent, be, like, consistent, work hard, save your money, like, kind of put that all together, and you can kind of take that into other aspects of your life, so.
Absolutely, like, the importance of hard work is unmistakable.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. So I think, like I said, we left the listeners with like a lot of good takeaways from this. Yeah. I think, you know, like obviously your experiences, I think it's actually better for a lot of people because you didn't know a lot going in.
Uh-huh.
And I think it's better for, you know, obviously people to take that experience from like what you went through and then kind of apply that to when they go through it. So they know what mistakes to not make. So, thank you for sitting in and being episode 2.
Of course.
You know, definitely got some good laughs. Michael is a fucking clown, but I think he provided like a lot of good information for you guys. So
yeah, sorry if I was kind of all over the place. That's kind of how I am.
Yeah. Until next time, I will see you guys. But thanks again for the support. Thank you guys for, you know, listening. Thank you for your guys' feedback, everything. I will continue to try and come out with good content. And I will see you guys again in 2 weeks for episode 3.
Yep, thanks for the opportunity, bro.